Hello and welcome to this new show called Ayurveda, the Science of Life on UK Health Radio. My name is Dr. Oscar Adukon. I'm working as an Ayurvedic practitioner in Belfast, Northern Ireland, following a career working as a GP, family doctor throughout the UK and Ireland. In this show, I will introduce the listener to the ancient system of medicine known as Ayurveda, which is still in use today and growing in popularity worldwide. I will explain the origins and principles of Ayurveda and give clear, simple, understandable explanations for how it can work in our modern lives. I will discuss how Ayurveda can connect us to our own nature, as well as the wider world of nature around us. We are all part of nature and need to restore these connections in our daily lives. I will interview like-minded therapists and health experts to discuss their approach to health and wellness and how it connects with Ayurveda. This show aims to reflect the growing move away from the narrow confines of conventional medicine to a deeper, more holistic and personalized view of health and wellness. Ayurveda is a nature-based system which uses food, simple herbal remedies, daily practices, and herbal-based medications to achieve balance of body and mind. So much of the root cause of illness today are caused by our digestion and lifestyle. Ayurveda teaches us that everything we do in our lives has an effect upon our well-being and health. On this show, I hope to teach you and show you how learning about Ayurveda will benefit you and your health now and into the future. Once again, welcome back to Ayurveda, the Science of Life. My name is Dr. Adukon, and on today's show, I'll be following on from what I discussed last week, where I discussed Ayurveda and its role in the history of the spice trade, and the importance of spices as medicines throughout history, from the Ayurvedic times to the Greek and Persian cultural civilizations into the Roman civilization, on into the civilization we know today. So it's developing a little bit more about the importance of herbs and spices in Ayurvedic teaching and practice, and also I will discuss some of the new findings that are coming from modern research. I call them new findings, but there are findings from modern research that confirm or corroborate some of the teachings and practice and understandings of spices and herbs that have been in the Ayurvedic tradition of medicine for thousands of years. So once again, a little brief understanding of Ayurveda itself for people who are coming to it for the first time. Ayurveda is a compound word, a compound Sanskrit word, and it comes from two words, ayu meaning life and veda meaning knowledge. So effectively it means the knowledge of life, or in more as an extension, the knowledge of how to live a good life. And it's not just a medical system, though it's been a system of medicine for over 4 to 5,000 years in the Indian subcontinent and continues to be used in India. It has spread around the world to the United States, to Europe, to Australia, and it's often integrated or used in conjunction with conventional medicines in particularly large clinics in America. But it's also a philosophy of harmonious living. And it focuses on the three pillars of health, which are getting more and more attention now in the mainstream media. And this is number one, our diet, digestion, or our digestive fire, or what we call Agni in Ayurveda. Our sleep, and the importance of sleep, not just the duration, but the quality of sleep that we're getting, and the timing of our sleep. And our lifestyle, which incorporates the habits, our daily routines and our seasonal routines and the practices we do throughout the day. So in the ancient text of Ayurveda, most notably in Charaka Samhita and Sushruta Samhita, and these are just the names of physicians who are associated with updated versions of the Ayurvedic knowledge over the history of time, Ayurveda describes life as the balanced integration of
our body, called sarira, our mind, called manas, and our soul, which is called atma, as well as our senses, our five senses, which in Sanskrit are called indriya. So a balanced integration of body, mind, soul, and senses. And the goal is not just to treat illness, but to preserve wellness, or svasta, which is defined as a state of dynamic balance between our three doshas, which are what make us up. The doshas of vata, which is air and ether, or space. And this dosha governs the motion and movement in the body and the nervous system. The dosha of pitta, which is made up of the elements of fire and water, which is responsible for our metabolism, or what happens with the chemical process in our body, and responsible for transformation or change within the body and the mind. And kapha, which is the dosha of earth and water, which ensures our stability and our growth and lubrication of our body and joints particularly, and also as a form of structure of our body in terms of the muscles and the skeleton. And when these three forces, or these three energies, are in harmony within our bodies and mind, this creates what's called the optimal ojas, or the subtle essence of vitality and in unity and resilience, and what we effectively would call these days wellness or well-being. We can think of it as our life essence, or our life force, as a distillation of our physical and psychological digestion, our metabolism, our processes, for want of a better word. And herbs and spices in Ayurveda are the natural tools to enhance the process of digestion and to achieve this state of balance or natural harmony. And as the great physician of Ayurveda, Shalaka, has written in a sloka, which is like a saying or an aphorism, and apologies for the Sanskrit pronunciation, yat jirnam tat asadam, which translates as, whatever aids digestion is medicine. And this is the guiding truth, I feel, of Ayurveda, that the balance begins in the gut and with our digestion, our balance of our body and our mind even. So if we think of that, the importance of digestion, we can extend that into thinking of the kitchen as a place like a pharmacy. You'd have in the olden days, you'd have the doctor's surgery and the dispensary right beside it. The doctor would dispense the medication. And then, of course, over time, this changed, and the pharmacies were put in other buildings or in a different part of the neighborhood. But effectively, it was like this in Ayurveda. The doctor would see the patient, and they would go and collect their prescription from the kitchen, for the pharmacy where it was made up. And in Ayurveda, the kitchen is considered as the first pharmacy, and the cook the first physician. And they were inseparable, certainly. And this was before labs and our clinics and in pharmacies and so on. The healing would begin in the kitchen with the pots and the pans and the herbs and the spices. And the spices we use daily: turmeric, cumin, coriander, black pepper are not just random spices we chose because of their taste, but that they had an intrinsic effect on our doshas and on our balance. And each of them would have a unique effect, or a unique effect on the five key factors that are involved in digestion according to Ayurveda, which is the taste of the food and herb, quality or the guna, the potency, which is the heating or cooling effect of a herb, and I'll talk about that later, which is called the birya, the post-digestive effect, so the late effect after eating or ingestion or consumption of a spice and herb in food, which is called the vipaka, and this more subtle kind of effect called the prabhava, which is the special potency, the special action and the unique effects of this particular spice, herb, or herbal preparation. Just for example, if we think of turmeric, which is called haridra in Sanskrit, it has a taste profile of being bitter and pungent. It has an energetic effect of heating, or its potency or its effect is of heating the body. And it also has a special effect of purifying the blood. If we look at a commonly used herb called cumin, which in Sanskrit is called jeera, this herb has been known to stimulate and enhance digestion. And as a side effect that this, it relieves bloating and excess gas. So that's going to happen with overindulgence or incorrect due choice. Another herb that's commonly used is called fennel. And this has been noted to have a cooling effect or cooling energetics. And in doing so, it calms the pitta dosha, which is associated with fire and water. And ginger, of course, which is a very commonly used herb. And I discussed often the positive benefits of ginger. This has an effect of kindling our digestive fire, or enhancing our digestive fire. Kind of, if you think of it like a little bit of it's like a special fuel that can increase your digestive fire needed. It's a bit lower, sluggish. So, in this way, in Ayurveda, we look at every meal as an act of medicine or an act of treatment, and every spice as a remedy for specific disorders, for specific imbalances. And in Ayurveda, as the most common axiom or common aphorism we hear, is food is the first medicine. Now, we can also balance the doshas in our food choices through the six tastes, the six fundamental tastes of Ayurveda, which are sweet, sour, and salty, pungent, bitter, and astringent. And each of these tastes will influence the doshas differently. And briefly, the sweet tastes decreases vata and pitta and increases kapha. The sour taste will decrease vata and increase pitta and kapha. The salty taste will decrease vata, but it will increase pitta and kapha. The pungent taste, which is heating, will increase vata and pitta and decrease kapha. And the bitter taste will decrease pitta and kapha, but increase vata. And lastly, the astringent taste will decrease pitta and kapha, but increase vata. So it's complicated when you hear me list out these effects. But when we start to study them, we start to think about them again and again with practice, we can start to understand how these type of tastes, how they relate to the elements, and then how through the elements they relate to the doshas, or these energies that we are made up of, and how we can just tweak it and change them accordingly as we need to keep ourselves balanced. I'll take a break now and come back in the next part of the show to give some examples of commonly used Ayurvedic herbs and explain how they can be used to achieve this balance within the doshas. So see you in a few minutes.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Good, good. If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity, and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So welcome back to the show, the Ayurveda, the Science of Life. I'm following on from last week's show where I discussed the history of spice, the spice trade, particularly in its importance in world history, and how we have learned we're learning again almost from Ayurvedic and from the Eastern traditions of the importance of spices and herbs in our food and our cuisine, our remedies, and as part of herbal medications we can use to treat ourselves if we are imbalanced and particularly doshas, or and also use them as in the form of supplements and to prevent illness and to maintain balance. So in the last part of the show, I just touched on the importance of taste. So to say that we can use, with an understanding of the six tastes and how they affect the doshas, we can prescribe herbs and spices to restore balance. So let's have a look at some of the Ayurveda's big hitters when it comes to these powerful and these important herbs that they've used in their tradition over thousands of years. And first and foremost is ashwagandha, which is known in Ayurveda as the vitalizer. And it comes from the herb Withania somnifera. And it's colloquially described in Ayurveda as giving the person who takes it the strength of a horse. And it's a powerful rasayana, or a rejuvenative herb, a herb that you can take to rejuvenate yourself or increase your energy. It improves your strength in your nervous system, and it balances vata. Now, vata is the dosha that's responsible for movement and responsible for the nervous system. So that fits then. And it also helps calm the mind. So it kind of improves the quality of vata. So it has a positive effect on the nervous system. That it is also described as, in the aphorism, or a saying or a sloka that's often used in Ayurveda, it builds strength, it rejuvenates, it enhances vitality, and induces sound sleep. So it is a multi-layered or a multi, kind of has multiple effects within the body. Now, modern research is starting to look at Ayurveda because it's such an interesting herb, and it recognizes it has a specific effect as an adaptogen. And adaptogens now have been studied as compounds that can help the body resist stress, and it helped the body reduce the levels of anxiety that we are experiencing, and can help build resilience. Now, adaptogens, are what we call adaptogenic substances, have been used in herbal medicine for thousands of years to help with stabilizing processes, physiological processes in the body, and maintaining this concept of
what we call homeostasis, or inner balance within our hormones, or our chemical processes. Now, a second very venerated and common herb in Ayurveda is called Tulsi. And Tulsi has a religious, or it is used often in religious ceremony. So it's called the sacred protector. And it's sacred within Indian houses. It's called holy basil. It's a specific form of basil that's cultivated in the Indian sort of confluent. And its effects are regarded as, its energy is regarded as sattvic. Now, sattvic in Ayurveda is the quality of the mind that's associated with calmness and peace of mind and stability and clear thinking and focus. So it balances the kapha and vata and has an effect on, also has an effect on clearing any respiratory congestion and building immunity. And the leaves of the Tulsi plant contain essential oils such as eugenol, which have antimicrobial and anti-inflammatory effects. So this is interesting. It's like it has a physiological or physical effect and also a psychological effect in cleaning, in a cleansing action and promoting, reducing congestion in our physical body, particularly our chest, and also promoting clarity or clearness in our mind. Like a dual effect, both on the body and the mind. Another commonly listed herb in Ayurveda is called Amla. Now, Amla is called Indian gooseberry, and it's a central ingredient, or as the central ingredient in a commonly prescribed and commonly taken supplement called Chyawanprash. Now, by its nature, Indian gooseberry is tridoshic, which is interesting because it can balance all three doshas at the same time, and is considered one of the best rasayanas. And rasayanas, for want of a better explanation, is a herb or preparation you take to maintain your health as you grow older. We would think of it now as a supplement, a kind of a regular supplement which you would take to maintain health. And in the Ayurvedic text of Charaka Sanhita, he says that among all the rejuvenatives, or among all these supplements that we take in Ayurveda, Amla is the most powerful. We know it's rich in vitamin C and antioxidants from chemical analysis. And it's been linked in Ayurveda with enhancing immunity, improving digestion, slowing down aging, so it has an anti-aging kind of properties within it. So it's a very highly regarded rejuvenator. Another herb that's used in Ayurveda is called Brahmi, and I've spoken about Brahmi before, particularly in relation to mental focus. Brahmi has been used in Ayurvedic medicine to enhance, improve your memory, your concentration, your mental focus. It has an effect of balancing pitta, and it's said to have an effect on opening the crown chakra, so the highest most chakra in our body, and this allows us to it supports us in our spiritual growth if we open the crown chakra, and it is used in tonics or medicines to help promote cognition or to our understanding, and also as a meditation aid. The last of the spices, or the herbs that are used in Ayurveda that you may have heard of, is one called neem. And neem is regarded as a very powerful detoxifier. It has a bitter taste and a cooling energy. And its effects or properties are in clearing these toxins that can accumulate in our body if our digestion isn't working maximally, so that we collect these, what we think of as undigested food, or toxins that can lodge within the tissues. It purifies the blood, and it's also used for healing skin diseases. Neem twigs or neem branches are used in as primitive or basic toothpicks in the Indian tradition, and they promote dental hygiene. They're used for neem oil is used for wounds, and neem leaves also used for fevers. It has an antipyretic or fever reducing effect. So those are some examples of the types of herbal preparations, herbs that are used in Ayurveda, and the types of effects that have that they recognized have over time. But spices, by their nature, they form a bridge between our food and using them as medicines. We can use the spices, when we use them in food, we can bridge that link between medicine and treatment. So they are a very practical expression of the teachings of Ayurveda that can be used in daily life, 3 times a day, or with remedies we take in between times. And they are a link between our nutrition and our pharmacology. So they're like, we can use these as medicines in a form of preventative medicine. So where specific herbal preparations treat specific disorders or imbalances, we can think of spices and herbs in general, and when you've been using cooking, think of them as maintaining balance by enhancing, improving, and regulating our digestive fire, by removing toxins or mopping up toxins that can accumulate in our body, and by supporting our natural immunity. So I'll take a short break now, and I'll come back in the last part of the show to discuss some of the spices and their specific effects, and also discuss some new modern research which has been shown to demonstrate the effects of these natural herbs and spices that have been used in Ayurveda for thousands of years. So I'll take a short break and see you back in a few minutes.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, ant and deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
So welcome back to Ayurveda, the science of life, and the last part of the show, which is all about, again, spices and herbs and the role in Ayurveda. But in this part of the show, I'll discuss some of the modern research come to light about the proving the or demonstrating the similar effects of these herbs and spices with scientific research that has been known in Ayurveda for many thousands of years, are observed and recorded the benefits of these herbs and spices in Ayurveda for that entire time. Now, we'll start with discussing the herb or the spice, and I use the terms interchangeably. And essentially, a spice would mean the powder or the more potent form of a herb, and the herb itself would be the leaf or the green part of the herb, or plant. So the first herb, and we've all heard this, it's very commonly spoken about today, it's in all the mainstream media and social media and so on, is turmeric, which is known by its Sanskrit name as Haridra, And Hiruddha is, it denotes a heart commutation. And it is known as the golden healer in Ayurveda. And turmeric represents purity and acts as a protection. We've often seen it applied to the forehead in religious rites and ceremonies in the Hindu tradition. This is often represents this role of turmeric as a protector. And it has an effect on through its tastes and its energetics of balancing pitta and kapha. It purifies the liver and the blood systems, and it has a specific role in aiding or assisting in healing of wounds. And Ayurveda describes it in a long slogan, which I'm not even going to try to say, but the transliteration of it would be that turmeric reduces the phlegm in our body, it neutralizes toxins, and it cures skin disorders. And modern research has confirmed that curcumin, the active compound in turmeric, has an anti-inflammatory, an anti-cancer, and antioxidant properties. And all of these had demonstrated a beneficial effects on the health. Particularly the active compound curcumin, it's been studied for its potential effects on our coagulation, which is how our blood clots. Now, these are the key points regarding turmeric's impact on blood clotting. Curcumin has been shown to have an anti-inflammatory and anti-coagulant properties, which may help prevent the formation and growth of blood clots in our blood system or in our arteries and veins. Now, our blood, it needs to clot to form an aggregate, like a scab, for instance, to stop bleeding in our tissues. And this is what happens when the scab forms after we have a cut or an abrasion on our hand. Over time, we develop a scab that occurs over it as a form of protection. And this is part of the action of turmeric. Now, as turmeric has the action of inhibiting this process, or reducing this aggregation or collection together of platelets which help form clots, it can lead to unexplained bleeding. So it we think of it as regard, it has a blood thinning effect. So it has to be used with caution in patients who are on blood thinners, such as warfarin or aspirin, or those of us who have any inherited bleeding disorders, such as haemophilia, would definitely need to discuss it with your GP or specialist before you'd even think of starting turmeric. A turmeric, its anticoagulant mechanism has been documented and understood in Ayurveda for many years. But this effect only lasts as long as you're taking the turmeric. It is used as a face paint, so it's used in skin preparations. It's used in the milk infusion, which I'll mention later on, added to milk at night, or obviously used in cooking spice. And it's one of Ayurveda's most useful and powerful spices. The other herb that is commonly known in the Ayurvedic tradition is ginger, or called sunti. And this is regarded as the universal medicine. So it's a very versatile herb, and it's got many, many uses. It's been recognized to stimulate digestion. It relieves nausea and can clear congestion on mucus out of our system. Now, fresh ginger, called adraka, it warms the body and improves the appetite. While dry ginger, or sulti, it enhances the metabolism and has an effect on easing joint pains. It's got an anti-inflammatory action as well. So a simple cup of tea or ginger tea can kindle your acne or help your digestion. It can dissolve toxins, so it reduces the ama that we talk about as a toxin collection in our tissues, and can restore clarity. And this is an example of a simple yet a powerful everyday remedy which can be used as a medicine. Now, the modern research on ginger which is by its official name is Zingiber officinale, has shown a range of benefits, including anti-inflammatory properties. It's shown to reduce the levels of circulating and create what's called CRP, C-reactive protein, which is inflammatory markup to the blood, which demonstrates that it has an anti-inflammatory activity. Ginger is also shown to have beneficial effects in type 2 diabetes, which is the commonest type we see these days. Over 90% of diabetics are type 2. You don't require insulin generally and are treated with medication and diet advice. But ginger, the use of regular use of ginger has been shown to reduce the levels of this HbA1c, which is a blood marker for the severity of your type 2 diabetes. And it also has antioxidant effects, which it allows to increase the specific, it has been shown to increase specific antioxidants in the blood. And these antioxidants are very important to help in mopping up or tying up these free radicals that can be produced from cellular metabolism that increase, that are linked to the development of cancers. And we know that ginger can help alleviating nausea symptoms. And studies have shown this has worked in pregnant women, though they're not as effective in reducing the vomiting. But they certainly can, use of ginger can certainly help in treating nausea and indigestion symptoms. This has been recorded and observed and used in Ayurveda for thousands of years. Another herb that has been studied in modern research is, and has always been used in Ayurveda, is cinnamon. Cinnamon is called tivak, and its name or its description is the sweet fire. And a cinnamon is an aromatic and a warming spice. And it balances the kapha and vata. Because of its heating nature, it's less helpful for pitta, but it's been observed to strengthen your circulation. It has an affinity for the heart, and it stabilizes blood sugars. And this has been used in Ayurvedic cooking and Ayurvedic medicine, and shows how we can blend spices into food and use them as medicines. So let medicine be your food and food be your medicine. That an aphorism that's oft repeated in Ayurveda. And research has shown that, once again, cinnamon has a number of different health benefits. It can increase our antioxidant levels, as I spoke about with ginger. It can boost our metabolism. So it has an effect of calorie burning and helping with our thermoregulation, which is the regulation of the body temperature, by its virya or its heating effect. And it has a potential use in weight management. Now, it also has been shown to reduce blood sugars by slowing the blood sugar rise that occurs after a meal. So it has a similar effect to insulin. Now, they've also shown that cinnamon can help heart or cardiovascular health by lowering the cholesterol, and our triglycerides are some of these circulating fats that occur in our body and are associated with cardiovascular illness or illnesses such as heart attacks and strokes. So all of these modern research findings are tying in with the ancient Ayurvedic knowledge of the observed effects of insulin on our health and on our balance. A common herb which is often used in Ayurveda is black pepper, and this is regarded as a catalyst, so it works often in conjunction with other herbs. It amplifies the potency of other herbs. Pepper has long been recognized to enhance digestion. It has long been recognized to have an effect on clearing mucus and boosting the absorption of nutrients from our diet or from our foods. And the active component that's been isolated in modern science of black pepper is called piperine. And this increases the bioavailability of other spices such as turmeric. So that we see that some spices have work in synergy, or they work better together. And this is an example of black pepper and turmeric working better in a combination. And this observation has been used in Ayurveda to develop herb medications, combining with different ingredients. Cardamom is another herb which is particularly useful in Ayurveda, and it's called the cooling aromatic. And cardamom is a cooling herb, so then it soothes pitta, or it pacifies the pitta dosha finis. It has an effect on uplifting our mood and reducing the acidity in our system. It also aids in assimilation of nutrients from our digestion, and it is a very commonly used in Ayurveda, in very Ayurvedic cooking, should I say, as a digestive tonic and a post meal puddings and desserts, for instance. Cardamom is a very common herb that's added to Indian dessert. So this discussion demonstrates that by blending different herbs and spices, we were achieving this concept of synergy within a herbal preparation, so that they have additive and kind of multiple layered effects on different tissues. And they also, Ayurvedic herbal preparations also have beneficial effects on both the body and mind. They don't act in one system or another. They act in both systems, often in conjunction. And classic examples of Ayurvedic herbal medications would be Trifala, which is a blend of Amla, Harutaki, and Bibitaki. So there is a three ingredient preparation, and it has a detoxification and a rejuvenation and a gut health promoting action. Chikatu is another. It's a tree pepper. As you have black pepper, long pepper combined with dry ginger. This is another common preparation that's used in Ayurvedic practice. And it has an effect on enhancing digestion and absorption of nutrients from our body, which is exactly what we need to improve our digestion. Hingvastika in a churna, which is a powder, is a combination of different herbs with rock salt. Cumin, carom, and asafoetida are the main ingredients in this preparation. And it works in the digestion by pacifying the pitta dosha and relieving gas and bloating in our body. And I mentioned charnaprash before, is a very common supplement. You can find it in Ayurvedic shops and also in natural fruit stores. It's a blend of 40 different herbs, and it's like a multivitamin preparation, I suppose you might compare it to what we have here. But primarily, there's elements of amla and ashwagandha in the tonic. And this is often used as a supplement to promote immunity and vitality into our later years. So I hope this discussion and description of some of these formulations can help us understand how Ayurveda achieves balance through this cooperation within your food, your remedies, and your spices and herbs, as well as the use of herbal medications and herbal supplements in specific diseases. And as I said, modern research is starting to look and examine these spices and herbs that have been used in Ayurveda and demonstrate their properties, their anti-inflammatory properties, their adaptogenic properties in terms of ashwagandha and how it helps reduce stress within our systems. The antimicrobial effect of tulsi, the holy basil, how it's protective for our heart. And also the Havrami, the Bacopa herb can be used for improving our cognition and our memory, our focus and concentration. So all of these new findings from modern research are very encouraging to validate the ancient science of Ayurvedic medicine. So in conclusion, what I would say that Ayurveda, in its philosophy and its teachings and its practice, in its tailored treatment to each individual person's constitution or their prakriti, to the awareness of nature and its impact upon our doshas and our inner balance, through the seasons, through the environment, even through the circadian rhythm of the day. It demonstrates an ancient wisdom of how we commune, how we tune, how we relate to our environment and nature all around us, and how by using these natural plant-based medications in a focused and tailored manner, we can achieve and maintain this balance within us. And it teaches us that our health is ultimately sacred. And our optimal health is tied up in Ayurveda with the concept of balance and balance within our doshas. And this balance can be adjusted and regulated by the correct use of herbs and spices, which are the life force of the earth and the soil in itself. And collecting and using these herbs in a traditional manner with gratitude and prayer and intention allows us to develop a healing partnership with nature and the environment. And this is what Ayurveda has preached and practiced for thousands of years. And it's what we're trying to achieve with the teachings of Ayurveda, bringing them back into the mainstream. But in this world, we're not connected to the drugs that we take. We're not connected to the manufacture, the processing, the effects of these medications in the same way as you are with traditional herbal and natural medication. And this is why I feel that when we honor the land, the nature, the environment, ourselves even, we then can take steps towards healing ourselves. So just a few simple things before I finish up for you could try at home, which you can dip into the ancient knowledge of Ayurveda, and some herbs that you can use in your daily life. For instance, a morning detox. Very simple, light preparation. Turmeric with some lemon helps stimulate the digestion and awaken the system. Or ginger and warm water with warm water and that maybe slice of lemon with it, get a spoon of good quality honey. A digestive aid that's commonly recommended is a cumin, coriander, and fennel tea, which you can make yourself. There's numerous recipes online that you can look up and try, but you need to have the fresh spices available to make this blend. For relief of cold and flu symptoms, which are almost everybody, you get them over this time of the year, ginger, honey, and lemon with a sprinkle of black pepper and adding some hot water into it. Couldn't be any simpler. We all grown up with this and just forget to use it. Go buy Beechams and Lemsips and stuff. Make your own. It's there. Have the ginger, the honey, the lemon, a little bit of black pepper. Any kitchen who doesn't have that, you need to get shopping ASAP. A night tonic or a night pacifier or a night calmer to take before going to bed is a warm milk with turmeric or perhaps cardamom, or maybe adding a pinch of nutmeg for a little bit of heat. And just a daily rejuvenation, a teaspoonful of chyawanprash, which is a very commonly used Ayurvedic supplement. And if you practice some of these remedies and practice them with awareness and try them, you can build a resilience from the fence, which is part of the concept of developing a preventive approach to your health and to medicine in general. So remember that Ayurveda invites us to be more self-aware of our foods, of the tastes, of the energetics, of the connections between our body and the food and the effects it has upon us. And using herbs and spices is a very helpful way that we can help our food, or help us develop that balance through our food. Remember, health is our natural state and our balance is our true nature. Being balanced is our true nature. I'll finish up with my last messages, and I do apologize for a bit over long in this show today, but there's so much to discuss within the herbs and spices. I've touched on some of the more common ones today. I hope you enjoy the show. See you again next week.
Tune in again next week for more discussion about Ayurveda. There's always loads to discuss. You can find more information on my website, anamayurveda.com, which is anam spelled A-N-A-M hyphen A-U-R-V-E-D-A.com. Anam is the Irish word for soul. Until then, as we say in Irish, Croí Fhuilán, Fad Saol. Healthy hearts, long life. Take care.